You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast, featured on allhabs.net, brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens, hosted by Rick Stevens with Amy Johnson and Chris G. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
All right, hi everybody, welcome to the Canadiens Connection Podcast, episode 165 here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained. My name is Chris G, and I'll be your host today for today's episode. We are Saturday, November 20th, and I'm pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, the editor-in-chief, the founder, and the president of Rocket Sports. It's Rick Stevens. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well. How are you? Welcome back. Great to have you back in the hosting chair. It's been a while.
It's been a couple of weeks, but all good to be back. And lots to talk about when it comes to Montreal Canadiens, like there always is. So that's exciting.
For sure.
So if we look at the outline for today's episode, well, we're going to talk about some roster moves because there was a couple of them, including some players making their season debut with the Canadiens. We're going to talk about, is this right? We're going to talk about François Legault, but yeah, we're going to talk about him later in today's episode. And in our big topic segment, well, Marc Bergevin, he's beginning a media tour. His first stop was with Pierre Lebrun from The Athletic, and he shared some thoughts on the Canadian start of the season, amongst the other topics. So he's going to be speaking to other outlets as well, but he's going to pretty much repeat the same things. So we'll discuss the messages that he had to share in the second segment. But let's begin with a quick recap of the last game since our last episode, and just a reminder that you could check out for comprehensive previews and post-game reviews for every Canadiens game at allhabs.net. Since our last episode, well, the Canadiens played two games, started on Tuesday night against the New York Rangers. The score was tied 1-1 early in the second period when Chris Kreider, who else, gave the Rangers the lead. And they never looked back on their way to a 3-2 win at Madison Square Garden. Christian Dvorak and Josh Anderson were the goal scorers for the Montreal Canadiens. Canadiens were back home on Thursday to face the Pittsburgh Penguins. And while Sidney Crosby opened the scoring during the fourth minute of play, and well, it ended up being the game-winning goal as the Penguins, I guess, embarrassed. Not sure embarrassed is a strong enough word. The Canadiens by a score of 6-0. And in previous games, Dominic Ducharme, he would say in so many words that he saw progress or unlucky bounces and so forth. But following the game against the Penguins, his message was different. He just said that they were bad and that they were bad in every aspect of the game. And Rick, he was right. The Canadiens, you know, they've been bad.
They were bad, and I think both bad and frustrated. We saw both. We saw a little bit of frustration coming out in the game against the Rangers, but certainly against the Penguins, players were quite frustrated. Tyler Toffoli, who we're going to hear from a little bit later, in his post-game media availability. He was really frustrated, and throughout the game, it was just ugly. It was miserable. The Canadians now on a four-game winless streak heading into Saturday night's game against the Predators. Just four wins in 19 games, and we're no longer, we can't say that it's early in the season, because we're already at the one quarter mark, or close to it, in this National Hockey League season. So things are looking very dire for the Montreal Canadiens, and fans being frustrated, fans being turning away and begging for action, and so that's why we're seeing Marc Bergevin on this media tour, and we'll cover that completely in our second segment, the big topic segment.
And I know, Rick, you were very curious. Like, I know all week you've been waiting for me to announce the percentage according to SportsClubStats.com. For the Canadiens to make the playoffs. And as we speak right now, to make it to the playoffs, Canadiens have a 0.1% chance. So there's still a chance.
There's still a chance. All right.
And according to their calculations, there's a 68% chance the Canadiens finish 16th in the Eastern Conference. Huh. So great. It's looking great.
Their winning percentage is even below. Now, Ottawa has been sidelined and three games postponed. And as far as points go, Ottawa is below the Canadiens. But if you look at points percentage or winning percentage, Canadiens below even the Senators. So things are getting rough.
And speaking of being sidelined, well, Mathieu Perreault, he's already missed some time following the West Coast trip. And well, on Wednesday, the Canadiens announced that Mathieu Perreault, he had a second surgery to his eye, which will push back his return by another couple of weeks. So another player that was already in the injured list, that his absence will be extended. Perreault, who had a role before his injury as a third line center of the team.
And Perreault brought one of the rare highlights of the season with his hat trick.
Yeah. Maybe a good question for another show. Was that the only highlight of the Canadiens this season? But anyways. In other roster news, Adam Brooks, he was placed on waivers by the Canadiens on Tuesday. And, well, 24 hours later, we found out that he was claimed by the Golden Knights. So he packed his bags, headed to Vegas. I'm pretty sure he's pretty happy about that move. And the Canadiens had acquired Brooks off waivers from the Toronto Maple Leafs. With the Canadiens, he played a total of four games, got some power play time in one of those games, and collected one assist. And Rick, it looks like Ryan Poehling's play after three games, well, at the time of the transaction, Poehling had played three games, convinced the Habs to make this move.
I think so. Poehling has looked comfortable. He's looked responsible. He's played well at both ends of the ice, and certainly is giving what the Canadiens need on that fourth line. Adam Brooks brought in as a bit of insurance, but really didn't show anything, certainly not anything more than Poehling can provide. So this was, I think, an easy decision. And the Golden Knights are decimated by injuries, so a pickup there. And good luck to Adam Brooks, but it's nice to see Ryan Poehling solidify his position in the lineup.
And it was well deserved for him. He did earn it. It wasn't a gift given to him. Mm-hmm. So that's good. In other roster news, Cole Caulfield, he was recalled from the Laval Rocket in time for Thursday night's game against the Penguins. The corresponding move was Alex Belzile being assigned to the Rocket. In Laval, Cole Caulfield, he had collected two goals, three assists, and was a minus six through six games. In his last two games before being recalled, Caulfield had two goals and one assist in his last two games, including a shootout winner against against the Toronto Marlies. And Rick, I know it was only one game. Like, at least it looks in Laval that Caulfield, you know, at least with a puck, he started to seem to gain confidence. And the game against the Penguins, when the coach Ducharme was asked to comment on Cole Caulfield's performance that night, Ducharme pointed out that he felt that Caulfield did okay when he had the puck.
I think many Habs fans were surprised that he was recalled so quickly. Many were, all the signs seemed to be pointing, including J.F. Uhl and his comments, that Caulfield would be in Laval for a length of time. And really, he didn't dominate, didn't light it up in the AHL. I liked his shorthanded goal where he capitalized on a turnover and a great shot. But I think I saw on the RDS website, two-thirds of fans said he was recalled too early. But obviously the Canadians need some goal scoring help and somebody who can provide some dynamic offense. And I think that it seemed to me that while in Laval, they were hoping that, or they were having Caulfield work on a bit more of his playmaking, defensive play without the puck, and he seemed better at that. I mean, it's hard to evaluate anybody in a 6-0 loss, but he seemed a little bit better than when he went down.
Yeah, and there was that one shift there that was circulating on social media as well, like, and a lot of people shared it, where Caulfield seemed like he had that one good shift in the offensive zone, and he looked good in that one, but the rest was, like you said, hard to evaluate in a 6-0 game. Caden Primo, he received his first two starts of the season. It was on Tuesday night against the Rangers and Thursday night against the Penguins. On Tuesday, he made 31 saves, including 16 of them in the first period. And then on Thursday, he was pulled after two periods when he allowed the 5 goals on 31 shots. And Rick, I feel that Primo on Tuesday, he did his job in giving his chance a team to win, made some key saves as well. But on Thursday, I felt that he was just as good as his teammates in front of him. Like, I don't think he stood out. But what did you think of his performance in his first two games?
No, I think that's fair. Tough for him to go in his first game of this season on the road, Madison Square Garden, big stage. That was a tough assignment, but he did pretty well. I think we know that he had a tough preseason. And it's kind of been up and down in Laval, but he looked pretty good. I'd say you know, maybe one soft goal where he kind of slid way out of the crease. But he did what you might expect him to do. Is he ready for the NHL? No, not yet. And we saw that in the Thursday game against Pittsburgh. So he'll eventually, once Carey Price is back, he'll head down back to Laval and get those all of that experience that he needs that Stefan Waite has been talking about.
Yeah, and just a programming note, like later in today's episode, Michael Spinella from our Rocket Sports media team, he'll join us and he'll share his thoughts. We'll ask him on his performance on Caden Primo. And also, Dominic Ducharme confirmed that against the Predators, it will be Samuel Montembeau who'll get the start. In other roster news, Matthias Norlander, he made his NHL debut against the Pittsburgh Penguins on Thursday. He played 17:54 on a pairing with David Savard. He also obtained 50 seconds of ice time on Montreal's power play. Well, it was Montreal's only power play, so he was there on the second wave. And like, it's hard to evaluate a one to evaluate a player on a one game sample, especially like we mentioned earlier when the whole team was horrible, like in a game against the Penguins. I think if I had to choose one highlight, it would be the sequence where he attempted to set up Toffoli. Toffoli was at the doorstep. Matthias Norlander found him he didn't find him. He saw that Toffoli was open, but Toffoli couldn't put a stick on it, or he wasn't expecting it. And well, that was a scoring chance that Canadians weren't able to finish on.
A puck moving defenseman is what the Canadians, or another one, if you add that to Petrie, is what the Canadians need. And he looked like he could be someday that puck moving defenseman in a number of sequences where he rushed the puck. I thought he looked pretty good. You know, there were defensive breakdowns, a lot of them against the Penguins, but. For the most part, I thought Norlander looked solid, and I don't know that means that he should stay the season with Montreal. Maybe I think he's would have best preparation going back to Frölunda, but I thought he acquitted himself quite well in his first NHL action.
And he's going to get another chance against the Nashville Predators tonight at the Bell Center. And, well, for Thursday's game, he had taken Chris Weidman's spot in the roster. And, well, Chris Weidman is also playing tonight, and the Canadians are going to go in the 11-7 formation, which is odd that Michael Pezzetta will be the player who will be scratched for tonight's game. In other roster news, well, Joel Edmondson, well, he started skating. We've seen him skate throughout the week. He's done that in the past. But this morning, he joined the team for a morning skate. But he won't play tonight against the Predators. So after all this uncertainty, Rick, with Joel and what's his injury and when will he come back and all the deadlines, the time frames that kept getting pushed back, it looks like Joel Edmondson is closer to returning into action.
And this is the first time he's joined for a morning skate. So that's solid news of progress. Hopefully afterwards there won't be any setback. He's been missed. Jeff Petrie's missed Joel Edmondson. And once he's back, that should kind of put the pairings back in good order, and so it'll be nice to see him back hopefully soon.
On Friday, the Canadians announced that general manager Marc Bergevin, he tested it positive for COVID-19, so we wish him all the best in his recovery, and he's being monitored by the Canadians medical staff, and you'll follow the protocol set forth by the NHL and the public health authorities. And well, when it comes to symptoms, we're getting more and more information. Like Eric Engels reported on Saturday morning, that Marc Bergevin told Eric Engels that he didn't really feel that great after Thursday night's game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sore back, the shakes, headaches, body aches, etc. And Rick, as a result as well, it looks like the players and the coaching staff, they'll have some enhanced protocols to follow over the next days to make sure that the virus doesn't spread.
For the next 10 days, the Canadiens players will be tested every day to ensure. We've seen with other teams, particularly Ottawa, it has spread through the team. The Canadians want to prevent that. Marc Bergevin said that because of he was feeling a little rough on Thursday, he didn't go down as he usually does to talk to the coaching staff and to say hello to the players. So he didn't do that. But just to be sure, they're going to be doing some extra testing, and hopefully in that way. Prevent any kind of spread. It doesn't sound, we should say that all of the Montreal Canadiens are double vaxxed, including Bergevin. But, you know, the vaccine over time, the vaccine efficacy drops, and it seems like this Delta variant is a little bit easier spread, even for those people who are vaccinated.
And the good news in the story is that Bergevin said that he feels like he's turning the corner now, that he seems like he's getting better than what he was on Thursday. So that's good news. And while he seems to also be in good enough shape to still conduct his media tour, so that's a positive sign when it comes to the health of Marc Bergevin.
Just one more note, and that out of from Dom Ducharme at his media availability, pregame media availability this morning, and he just mentioned that Carey Price, who has been on the ice at the Bell Sports Complex, is unlikely to play next week. For those wondering, there's no timeline for Price's return, but it's not going to happen next week.
Yeah, when the news were coming out, I was expecting to be at least December. So at least it's good, and there's no pressure for Carey Price to come back. There shouldn't be a pressure, regardless in what situation, but especially in the lost season like this. Like, you know, let him take his time, and nobody should pressure him to return. All right, let's move on now and to the Habs prospect report.
This edition of the Rocket Report is brought to you by AHL.report, your premier source for the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens. AHL.report is a proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network.
And well, the Rocket played one game since the last episode, and it was Wednesday night in Toronto. And well, I'm sure if you search the internet really, really good, I'm sure you'll find t-shirts that are saying it was 5-1 because it was 5-1 for the Toronto Marlies with 2:19 remaining, I should say, in the second period before the Rockets scored four unanswered goals to send the game into a shootout tied at 5. And then in the shootout, Raphael Harvey-Pinard scored the game-winning goal using a technique that he credited that he learned from Alex Burrows last year to give the Rocket a 6-5 win in the shootout.
And that was the ninth round of the shootout, I believe?
Yeah, it was something crazy like that.
It went on and on and on. It was exciting.
Yeah, I think even Xavier Ouellette, I think, took like a shootout. So I just imagine how deep it went. No disrespect to Xavier Ouellette. The Rockets' next game, the next one, is tonight against the Belleville Senators in Belleville. And, well, funny enough, the two games following that will be against the Belleville Senators as well. On the ECHL side, the Trois-Rivières Lions, who are in the process of playing a three-game series against the Railers. On Wednesday, the Railers, they dominated the Lions 6-2 at Colisée Vidéotron. And after that game, the players had a players-only meeting because, well, they haven't been off to a good start. Even the coach, Eric Bélanger, hasn't been happy with his team's performance. And it seems to have worked because on Friday, the Lions came out on top 4-1 against the Railers in Worcester. The two teams face each other again tonight at 7:00. So, Rick, I'm not sure if you paid close attention, but I'm not sure if you know what that means. It means tonight at 7:00, there'll be a Habs game, there'll be a Laval Rocket game, and there will be a Trois-Rivières Lions game, all going on at the same time.
So make sure you got your three TVs set up, and so you can keep an eye on all the action tonight.
I know. We need three TVs, but we have two eyes, so I'm not sure how that's going to work. So, Rick, why don't you tell us about the Press Zone Montreal?
Press Zone Montreal, last week, it was a combined Press Zone Montreal, Press Zone Philadelphia. We had the Press Zone, and it was a focus on a lot of different issues in the American Hockey League. It was one of the every 2 weeks, bi-weekly, we have Patrick Williams, who joins us, and we do an AHL hot stove, and we covered a whole number of topics. For our next episode, which will be out on Tuesday for the Presso Montreal, we'll have there has been some roster movement, as you know, covering the games at Place Bell. There has been some roster movement. We'll update that. We'll take a look at the Utica Comets, who just set a record last night in the AHL, and a whole bunch of other things all related to Montreal Canadiens prospects.
So be sure to read the content over at ahl.report and listen and subscribe to the Press Zone Montreal on your favorite podcast player. All right, let's move on now to some interesting quotes that we heard related to Montreal Canadiens since our last episode on Monday. Well, we'll begin with Tyler Toffoli when he met the media on Friday. And, well, Friday's practice was short but intense. And Tyler Toffoli was asked to talk about the intensity of that practice.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of the worst teams in the league right now. So we have to find a way to get ourselves out of it. So I'm not that surprised, no. Well, no one else is going to do it besides us. So, I mean, there's really nothing else to say about it. We have to figure it out within ourselves. And if not, changes are going to be made in some form or way, I would imagine. And, you know, people aren't going to like it. Guys aren't going to like it. Yeah, I think we just have to trust, be able to trust each other. And if mistakes are made, you have to make up for the mistake some way or form. So, you know, if we trust ourselves a little bit more and be creative and make plays and not be afraid to make plays, and you know, that's how we'll be successful.
So you said practice was intense on Friday, which it was. That was pretty intense from Tyler Toffoli. Intense, it was grim, it was blunt, it was honest. Obviously, players are frustrated. He talked about the Canadiens being one of the worst teams in the league. It's, yes, we see that on in the standings, but it's another thing for a player to say that. That kind of bold, honest talk, I think, is good. He said, we have to be motivated because if not, changes are coming. Now, there's a number of possibilities to what that could mean, but he said maybe there'll be changes we won't like, so we better get things together. I thought it was, you know, it wasn't just, as you said, along the way, Dom Ducharme has been saying, oh, well, we didn't get the breaks, we didn't get the bounces, we didn't. This was as honest and direct as we've heard from a player.
Yeah, and it's frustrating for athletes like to play and lose and struggle like the way that the Canadiens have. Like these athletes, like I know, like we hear a lot of fans saying, oh, you know, they should tank, but players, when they go on the ice, or any professional sports, not just hockey, like when they go out there doing their sport, like they play to win. That's all they've been trying to do all their life, so they don't, you know, they can't tank. So it's definitely a frustrating situation for the players and anybody involved with the Canadiens. I'm sure it's frustrating for the coaching staff. It's frustrating for Bergevin. It's frustrating for the fans. It's frustrating all over. And we saw another sign of frustration during the game against the New York Rangers on Tuesday. And it resulted to Brendan Gallagher being fined $2,500 for roughing Gaudreau in the final minute of the play when the Canadiens were down by one goal. It was off the faceoff circle where Brendan Gallagher introduced his glove to Gaudreau's face. And, it cost Gallagher a little bit in his wallet. And, well, he was asked about it the next day.
Yeah. Got fined, so I kind of expected that to come, but I think there's two sides of it as well. You know, there's some acting going on there, and you know, I think I a lot of players have a little bit too much pride to act like that. I guess he felt, you know, whatever he had to do to, I don't know, he was obviously fine, but take the fine, move on. I'm not too worried about it.
I'd really like Brendan Gallagher to be more worried about it. And we've seen Brendan Gallagher being frustrated multiple times this season. And we remember him going to the bench and destroying his stick. And in this case, there was 28 seconds left. The Canadians down just a goal, fighting to get back in the game. And did Barkley Goodrow embellish? Absolutely, he did. However, his Gallagher's fist still connected with Goodrow. It was still a penalty. It was still undisciplined. It was still selfish. And it cost the Canadians an opportunity. Now, given the way things are going, was it likely that the Canadians would tie it up in 28 seconds? Well, I'll leave that for you to speculate. But there was still a chance with 28 seconds left. And Brendan Gallagher took that away from his team. And that's not what a leader does. And I was hoping that Brendan Gallagher would come out and say, listen, I you know, my emotions got the better of me last night. And this was the next day. It wasn't right after the game. The next day when he gave this quote. And I really wanted him to take responsibility for it, to say that he cost his team. And that's what a leader would do. And for him to say, oh, he was acting and players have too much pride to embellish. Well, it's not too hard for us to remember incidents where Brendan Gallagher has embellished to draw a penalty. And I'm not criticizing him, but I'm just criticizing him for the way he characterized it. I was a little bit disappointed.
And we did see like the other pictures that were on TV where, you know, Goodrow was looking at the officials.
Yeah.
Way like we did see that, but it's just the act. Like that's what he got fined for, the act, which is something that, you know, NHL player safety a lot of times takes into consideration, like the consequences. But this time it's the act. Like he still punched him regardless if it actually hurt him or not. Like he still delivered the blow to his helmet. So still sticking with that game against the New York Rangers. Well, Michael Pezzetta, who, like we said earlier, is not playing tonight against the Predators. Well, he decided to drop his gloves for his first NHL fight. And well, he decided to challenge Ryan Reeves, one of, if not the toughest player in the NHL. And while the fight didn't end well for Pezzetta, as expected, like he didn't go after like the easiest opponent. And while Ryan Reeves, he was asked about it, about the incident.
I was very confused on what was going on. It was the second time in my career I was confused on whether a guy from, you know, the minors was an absolute killer trying to make a name or something, but both ended the same way. So I don't know if I ran him or I ran somebody else. I couldn't really tell who I hit, but he just kind of came up behind and was yelling at me. And I don't know if you see the replay, there was a lot of confusion on my face. I didn't know if he was serious or not. But
so you didn't know him at all?
No, yeah.
So you don't know if he can fight or not?
No, I mean, I assume. Right. Well, I assumed he could fight.
It was not a good decision by Michael Pezzetta. Yeah, Pezzetta got pummeled. It's Ryan Reeves, as you said. Toughest guy in the NHL, but more than that, it wasn't just that he lost the fight. It was the Canadians had just kind of regained the momentum, and Pezzetta decided to engage Reeves, which was a losing cause. We know that, and that fight, many of the Rangers after the game credited the fight, Reeves revving up the Madison Square Garden crowd, as well as the bench. I don't remember. It was 90 seconds later, the Rangers scored They credited the fight for turning the momentum. It was a bad move, bad decision by Michael Pezzetta.
Yeah, Bob, I agree. He didn't pick his opponent. You'd think he'd do a better job picking his opponent. And let's be honest, the game they would have lost anyway as the Canadians, regardless of that fight. But and our last clip, well, Matthias Norlander, he met the media prior to his first game in the NHL, which happened to be against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, well, Norlander shared the name of who his idol was.
Well, when you're on the ice, you don't really think about it. But now, I mean, when I grew up, he was my idol. So, but tomorrow, he will not be my idol. So, yeah.
So Sidney Crosby was his idol growing up, what are the odds that his first game in the NHL would be against the Pittsburgh Penguins? Sidney Crosby, who's been out good portion of the season, just back, and he got to face Sidney Crosby, but he was very direct. He will not be my idol tonight. And we saw them meet a couple of times against the boards. And Norlander had no trouble roughing up Crosby a little bit. And I thought it was Norlander is going to be a delightful interview, much in the same way that Alexander Romanov is. His responses are terrific. And he went on to talk about driving in Montreal and other things. He's very open and honest and has this beaming smile while he's at the podium and just a delight. And we had to include that quote this week.
Yeah, and like you said, he's a very nice person. And even when he was in Laval and we had spoken to him after one of the games, and as he was waiting before his turn to go to the podium, he was there and he was smiling as he was waiting, like we weren't even talking yet. And yeah, that's that smile. He's a very engaging person and somebody you like to talk to. Well, you'd think we're going to move on to our next topic and talk about Premier François Legault. You think he would get the attention from Norlander's comment about the traffic and the construction in the roads? Well, no, that's not what caught his attention. But on Thursday, Premier François Legault, he unveiled a strategy to increase the number of Quebecers in the National Hockey League. François Legault announced a new 15-member committee that's led by former NHL player and current analyst on RDS, Mac Denis, to find out why there are fewer young Quebecers interested in hockey compared with past generations and why fewer Quebec-born players are reaching the sport's highest levels. The committee is to submit its recommendation by April 1st. And part of Legault's media tour as well, he made it sound like he's going to personally get involved, reach out to Gary Bettman, and work on getting the Quebec Nordiques back in the NHL. So quite that hockey fan, Rick, that Premier François Legault.
Well, and listen, his initial comments were about getting more young people involved in hockey and kind of removing the obstacles. And there are many obstacles, expense, the arenas, the infrastructure, all of that. And Legault wanting to involve the government in getting rid of some of those barriers so that more young people in Quebec can be involved in hockey. And that's great. And I think that's marvelous. I think where he overstepped was then he went on to say, we need to have more more Quebecers in the NHL. And he feels that the Montreal Canadiens should be doing more. He acknowledged that he met with Jeff Molson and Marc Bergevin this summer, I believe, or in the spring, and asked them to have more Quebecers on the roster. And we saw we saw Marc Bergevin go out and get Quebecers when he could have, brought players up from prospects up. He was adding players like Cedric Paquette and Mathieu Perreault. And we saw Francois Legault when the Canadiens opening night roster was announced, and he said, bravo, five or six? I don't remember. I think it was five.
It was six.
Okay. So there was Mathieu Perreault, Cedric Paquette, David Savard, Jonathan Drouin, Alex Belzile. I'm missing one.
Montembeau.
Sam Montembeau. Exactly. So there was six altogether. And the Franco-Ontarian Paul Byron, if you want to add him. Mm-hmm. In this press conference, Legault acknowledged that there are 30 regular players in the NHL from Quebec. So if that's the case, then that's less than one per team. So the Canadiens with six are doing way more than the average. So him pressing the Canadiens rather than talent, but to factor birthplace into it, that just strikes me the wrong way. And Maria, one of our contributors, said, one of the reasons the Canadiens have the glorious history that they have is because they were winning, because they have a past of excellence, the most cups, and it's not because of the number of Quebecers. So what the Canadiens need to do for Quebecers to engage them and to provide a good example for young people so they'll get into hockey is be excellent no matter where those players come from. I think... Legault went too far, but you understand, and we don't talk politics on this show at all, but there is an aspect of politics, of electioneering for a politician to start talking about motherhood issues, like the Montreal yeah. Canadiens in Quebec. And to set up these meetings with Gary Bettman to encourage the National Hockey League to return to Quebec City.
Yeah, which is something that Legault probably has little power over anyways to influence for the Canadiens coming back. But the whole languishing, it's a big deal, like in the Quebec market, like even in the other professional sports that they have here in Montreal, like the Alouettes. Like they hired Danny Machocha, like a bilingual general manager. The president is French speaking. The Montreal Impact, CF Montreal have done the same thing. So it's always going to be a storyline in this in the market. All right, so we're going to take our first break here on the Canadiens Connection. Coming up next in our big topic segment, we're going to talk about Marc Bergevin and the beginning of his media tour. So stay with us. This is the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection, however they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down a dollar on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, welcome back to Canadians Connection podcast on the Rocket Sports Radio. I'm Chris G, and you can find me on Twitter at ChrisHabs360. And with me in studio is the president and founder of Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. You can follow him on Twitter at AllHabs. And don't forget, you can follow Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit the website CanadiansConnection.com. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a comment to the Canadians Connection podcast in the player or on your favorite podcast application. So prior to the announcement on Friday that that he had COVID, Marc Bergevin spoke to Pierre Lebrun for The Athletic. So it seems now that Bergevin is confined, I guess, for the next couple of time, a little bit of a time. He'll have time to discuss with the media, so we're going to see him going on a media tour. And, well, the general manager discussed several topics that we haven't heard him discuss publicly since early on in the season. I think it was after Game 4 of the season when he spoke to the media. And, well, one of the topics that he was asked by the media to speak was about the report that came out regarding the Chicago Blackhawks situation, which he had declined at that moment. And while he spoke to Pierre Lebrun for The Athletic, he said that the firm that was investigating reached out to him in July, and he confirmed then that he wasn't aware of any situation concerning Kyle Beach or Brad Aldridge. And his name was not mentioned in the report that was recently made public about the incident that took place in 2010. So those were the comments from Marc Bergevin in that situation. And, you know, we'd like to express our sympathies to Kyle Beach and the unnamed John Doe as well, who were involved in this situation. Now, back on the ice, Marc Bergevin, he spoke about how he was concerned about the energy during training camp, and he said that he saw signs of it from the beginning, and it dragged on to the beginning of the season. And I remember, Rick, like, even when in one of our episodes that me and you hosted together, and I think it was after the first couple of games, we saw it right away that the start of the regular season was just a continuation of the of training camp. And And Marc Bergevin finds it difficult that the team was so good for two and a half months during the playoffs, and then he said that the team has felt flat on its face since the beginning of the season.
I think that obviously there is a different intensity, a different performance level. But without the two cornerstones of the team, Carey Price and Shea Weber, that's a huge drop off and a huge, hole in the talent level, in the confidence level, the leadership level, all of that, it was missing, right from, training camp. And, I thought it was interesting, that Marc Bergevin said that he didn't see energy from the beginning of training camp. Not only he didn't see energy, he said, "I didn't see engagement. We didn't get engaged from day one of training camp." And that can't be explained by a short off season. Tampa Bay went through exactly the same situation, and they're the same number of off days, and they're not running into it. The engagement part, I felt that, you know, the engagement part is a coaching issue, that it's up to the coaching staff to get a training camp engaged from day one. And this training camp we saw was a little bit more disjointed. We've seen in the past that Claude Julien liked to set up his lines from day one and let them develop chemistry. Dom Ducharme was kind of the opposite. There was a lot of experimentation going on, and And this training camp was very different. And as you said, the results, the style of play, all of that was missing, even from those exhibition games. And Dom Ducharme, who complained a lot last season about not having practice time to implement his system, had a full training camp to implement his system, and has had a lot of practice days since then, and is just not connecting, unfortunately, with his players.
When it comes to the comparisons with the Tampa Bay Lightning, I agree when it comes to like the physical recovery, like for injuries and like the and all that. I think it's fair to compare the Canadians with the Tampa Bay Lightning, that they're their opponents in the Stanley Cup final. But when you engage with engagement, like I'm not willing to compare the two, because Tampa Bay is coming off like a second Stanley Cup victory, so they're coming off like a high. It was from a positive. From the Canadian side, like losing the Stanley Cup final, like it's a big disappointment, I think, for the players and everybody involved, and I've even heard players say that losing in the Stanley Cup final feels worse than losing in the first round, because you're so close and there's disappointment. So I can understand why the engagement level between those two teams could be different when it comes to that part of it. And when things go bad on the hockey team or any pro sports team, the coach gets a lot of attention when it comes to the blame. A lot of frequently, like, the coach is the one that pays the price. And well, it's fair to ask the question with the Canadians. Like we mentioned on top, they've won only four games through the first 19. So that's a horrible it's horrible results, and it's pro sports. That's how it's wins and losses that matter. So it was a fair question that Pierre Lebrun asked Marc Bergevin about Dominique Ducharme and his job security. And while Marc Bergevin said at this time, like, he doesn't put the blame on Dominique Ducharme, he said that he took pretty much the same team to the Stanley Cup final. And while he didn't become a bad coach in 3 months, he said that it's not the fault of one person. It's more than one issue. And when I look at the situation, like, do I think, like, this season Dominique Ducharme has been, you know, has been perfect or great? The answer is no to that. When the team wins 4 games out of 19, it's hard to say that, yes, that he's done a good job. At the same time, I don't think Dominique Ducharme is, like, the number one reason that the team is at this point. Like, if you look at the Canadiens roster right now, as we speak, even the roster that's going to play tonight, I'm probably going to make it oversimplistic, but the Canadiens right now on the roster, they have a top six up front, and then they have 2 fourth lines. And then on defense, they have no, like, the number one defenseman. Like, their third pairing is a mess. They're playing 7 defensemen. Like, I don't feel that the roster is there. Like, there's not much of a roster for Dominique Ducharme to work with. And I really think that any coach that would have this exact same roster with these conditions, I don't think they'd be in much better place than what they are now. And I even did some quick math. It's very quick. Math was not my major, so my math could be a little bit wrong. The 20 players that will dress, like, tonight, if we count, like, their cap hits, like, it's a total of $54.5 million. So if you look at the quality of the players that they're working with, it's not a strong roster for any coach, and especially not Dominique Ducharme, who doesn't have a lot of experience in the NHL or as a pro hockey, and I don't feel like he has a lot to work with.
Well, I don't think, as Marc Bergevin said, coaching is not the one issue. There's more to it than that, And I think that's fair. I think the roster is, even at full strength, is not great. And we'll get to Mark Bergevin's role in this in a minute. But I'm not one to blame injuries, because that's up to the GM to build in. Injuries are part of the game, and that's up to the organization to build in depth. But even at that, you look at a team like the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were for the majority of their season were missing Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. The Canadians have, don't have those kinds of players out of the lineup. How Mike Sullivan has dealt with that, an experienced coach versus Dominic Ducharme. And you said Ducharme is inexperienced, I think it was Marc-Antoine Gaudin who said in a recent article, the Montreal Canadiens have one of the most inexperienced coaching staffs in the National Hockey League, and I think that's really hurting them here. For Mark Bergevin to say the team isn't, he doesn't appear that they're ready. He didn't like the effort from the start. Those are coaching issues. That's up to the coaching staff to get them ready. And Dom Ducharme believes he has a revolutionary system that no one else has and no one else has thought of. And we've heard player after player after player, particularly the ones who've come from other teams, say, I'm sorry, I'm just not getting it. And we've seen that on the ice. The team looks disjointed. They're playing as individuals. They're not playing together, not playing as Dom Ducharme envisions in his head them to play. And they've been awful. So coaching is, especially the lack of experience, is really hurting the Canadians. At a difficult time, you need a strong coach, a coach that the players trust, a system that the players trust for them to rely on, and they don't have it. As far as Dom Ducharme, getting credit for taking them to the Stanley Cup final last year, let's be honest. We know who took the Montreal Canadiens to the Stanley Cup final, and Dom Ducharme was absent for part of it with his own COVID issues, with Luke Richardson behind the bench. His regular season record, it's early, it's young, is 19-38 since he took over. He's lost twice as many games as he's won. He's not been a successful coach. His system hasn't been successful. He doesn't have the connection with the players and the engagement, nor the trust. I think Dom Ducharme, and particularly when he's been saying early in the season, it's just been the bounces, it's just been the luck. I think Dom Ducharme owns a big part of why the Canadiens, there is better talent on this roster than for them to find themselves, so close to the bottom in not only in the standings, but in every category. 31st for the winning percentage, 31st for goals scored per game, 30th for goals allowed, 28th on the power play, 29th on the penalty kill. They're setting records in futility all over the place. The 10 home games, the differential, they set an all-time record. The record for the first 14 games of the season, an all-time record. Dom Ducharme's got to take a big chunk of this, not all, as his responsibility.
And also, like when we earlier when we played Tyler Toffoli's clips, like he spoke about, that there if it continues like this, that there likely will be changes. Mark Bergevin, while he was asked by Pierre Lebrun whether to expect any, trades to happen during the season, and Mark Bergevin gave a A response that we've heard from him before, that there isn't many trades during the season. And also, he also added that when the players aren't playing up to their potential, like they aren't playing right now, that he wouldn't get max value out of them, so that he'd be selling low, and he feels that the team is a lot better than what our record is right now. So making a trade now just to, for what he said, is to shock the system for a week, and it won't help the Montreal Canadiens. It's not a trade that he's going to make. He's always there to listen, but he's not going to make a trade just to say that he made a trade. And well, for trades during the season, and to be honest, I think now at the state that this team is, even making one trade right now in season or not, like, it won't change anything. Like, the Canadiens aren't one player away from making this huge run and making it back into the playoffs. So I think this year for the Canadiens, it's a wash. But if you look back and talk about the offseason changes that Marc Bergevin made during the season, I think there was two players that he lost that I think it was in really hard or really nearly impossible for him to replace. So I'm talking about Carey Price and Shea Weber. Like, I think it's, you can't snap your fingers and replace any of those players. But there was other players where he was able to control, right? He knew Phil Danault wasn't going to return for the Canadiens for a while, right? Because there wasn't any trade negotiations. Thomas Tatar, I think he knew a long time back that he won't replace him, and so on and so forth. And he had a really bad off season for Marc Bergevin, and it's led to this. And I think now making any more changes at this point when it comes to player personnel will make a difference for this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Maybe, you know, a few weeks ago, adding a goaltender might have helped, because Marc Bergevin acknowledged that goaltending is both Jake Allen, well, all three, Jake Allen, Caden Primeau, Sam Entombeau. It's not been pretty. But I think you're right that now any trades, I think we're looking at, as we get closer to the trade deadline and providing players, whether it's the Ben Chiarots or those kinds of players that might help another team for the playoffs, and reaping the benefits of draft picks. But I think, you know, Marc Bergevin had a rough off season, and the exits out of the players that he added to the lineup didn't replace the players that he lost, and Barry Kotkaniemi was a big blow. It really was. I know people are going to just point to what he's doing in Carolina now, but for the Canadiens, that was Marc Bergevin's reset, his blueprint. It was building around, and he said it directly, building the team around Kotkaniemi and Suzuki. And that plan blew up when Marc Bergevin failed to lock down Kotkaniemi with a $2.5-3 million contract. Phil Danault leaving, Corey Perry, some leadership there. Marc Bergevin not willing to give him the 2-year contract he was looking for. Eric Staal provided some of that leadership too, and as you said, Weber and Price have been huge holes. But when you look at the guys coming in, Christian Dvorak has been a huge disappointment, at least what was billed. Now one of the worst plus minuses for forwards in the National Hockey League. Cedric Paquette, I still don't know what they saw in Cedric Paquette. Mathieu Perreault, we haven't seen him very much. He's been good, I think, when he's been in the lineup. Mike Hoffman, I think you knew what you're getting with him. Some goals, some poor defensive play. David Savard has been dreadful, but not all Savard's fault. He's been in a situation where he's playing more than he should. They're expecting more than David Savard can give. Chris Weidman's been okay, I think, but isn't your everyday kind of player. So I think that Mark Bergevin failed to provide the kind of to fill the holes and provide the depth that the team needed.
And now, when, like, we're talking about, like, trades and looking ahead to what's coming next for Montreal, like, you know, this season's a wash. So now let's start planning for next year. But the question is, who's going to make those decisions for next year? Marc Bergevin, in his last year of his contract with the Montreal Canadiens, well, he told Pierre Lebrun that it's business as usual, that he has a good relationship with Jeff Molson, that they speak almost every day, and that he's essentially doing his job, and that's not going to change anything, the way that he's running the Montreal Canadiens. And, well, he has no idea if he'll be back next season. So it makes it really, really difficult situation. And throughout, like, this whole time, like, we haven't heard anything from Jeff Molson on this topic. And when it comes to Jeff Molson, like, I don't believe that the owner of the team necessarily needs to speak. I think that the president of hockey operations needs to speak to the fans and share the direction of this team. And in the Canadian situation, well, it just happens that the owner, Jeff Molson, is also the president. So I think that he needs to speak, because there's too many questions unknown right now. The GM doesn't know about his future, and, well, nobody knows what's going on. I think he owes it to the season ticket holders, the people that pay the tickets for the product, the people that watch it, the people that support his team, that buy the merchandise, who've been diehard fans. They need to know what the plan is. They need to know what the situation is. And I really believe that if fans knew what the plan is, that they'd be okay, as long as, and then we'd be able to, you know, watch the game and evaluate and review and, you know, criticize, congratulate, based on what they told us they're planning on doing. Well, now we have no idea what they're doing, so we're just up in the air, you know, kind of trying to figure out what they're doing. But I don't even think that Jeff Molson at this point knows what he's doing. And even yesterday, when the Canadiens unveiled a mural, France-Marguerite Bélanger was out speaking to the media, and she was asked about Jeff Molson, right? Because, well, Jeff Molson isn't speaking, so we're going to ask the media, and everybody's going to ask anybody that they can about Jeff Molson. And, well, her response was pretty simple. Like, you know, she said that she takes care of the business side of the Group CH, which is fine. That's what she does. It's the hockey operations isn't her what she's part of. And she said, well, for the moment, there's nothing to announce. So whenever there is something to announce, you'll be the first to know. And, well, if you don't see Mr. Molson, it's because he has nothing to tell you. It's status quo until further notice. And Jeff Molson did make an appearance when the Canadiens opened the rink in Val-d'Or, which is good. It's always a positive thing that the Canadiens always do with the rinks across the province. And on Thursday, when François Legault met the media and he spent the day at the Bell Centre, well, there was a picture circulating in the Journal de Montréal of Jeff Molson. So we know he's out there. We know he's alive. A picture with François Legault. But Rick, like, Jeff Molson's absence right now at this point is it's unexplainable.
It is. And even that appearance that you're talking about, in the media release, it wasn't announced that he was going to be there. And of course, he didn't take any questions. But here we have the Montreal Canadiens in crisis. You have the public confidence in the team is falling rapidly. The interest is disappearing. Fans are turning off. And in this crisis, you know, we've talked how the team is struggling because of the loss of their leaders, their foundation. On the ice and in the locker room, Shea Weber, Carey Price, Corey Perry, Eric Staal, that's all a lack of leadership. But what we haven't been talking about is the lack of leadership that relates to the organization. Dom Ducharme, he's too inexperienced to provide that. Marc Bergevin has one foot out of the door. And if we're being honest, when we listen to Marc Bergevin speak this year, we all get the sense that he's lost his motivation, that his heart just isn't into this anymore. Yes, he's still doing his job, but it's not the same passionate Marc Bergevin. And then, as you said, again, with this leadership void right from the top, and that's Jeff Molson. As you correctly said, an owner can be in the, you know, in the shadows. They don't have to be involved. But Jeff Molson is not that kind of owner. He's also the president of the organization, and a president has to be involved, especially in times of crisis. And Jeff Molson has for the last 5 months, the last time we heard him was in July when he spoke about Logan Mailloux. And even at that point, it wasn't a full press conference. He had gone out and handpicked the media that were there, friendly media, so that they wouldn't ask any disturbing questions. He's been in hiding. He's been abandoning his responsibilities for the last 4 or 5 months. And as you said, you know, the Canadiens fans, all they want is some direction, something that they can believe in, something that they can attach hope to. And we saw this week in the core, what could be the core of the future. Prospects that were drafted in the last 3 or 4 years. Alexander Romanov, Ryan Poehling, Cole Caufield, Matthias Norlander, Caden Primo, Nick Suzuki. I think that fans could get around a team like that was playing their future prospects. If it was acknowledged that this was going to be kind of a, call it what you want, a rebuilding, whatever it is, and that you know, Marc Bergevin, okay, he's looking for, he's had enough of the Canadiens, he's looking for greener pastures, his term is up, there's going to be no extension, so a search will commence, not during the season. We know that those things are best done in the off season, but let Scott Mellenby and Trevor Timmins be interim for the next few months and do a proper search. And the same thing with Dom Ducharme. I'm sorry, is just in over his head. He doesn't have the experience, and he's not making the connections, and he doesn't have hasn't figured out the technical aspects to implement them in the NHL. Leave it to Trevor Letowski and Luke Richardson for the rest of the year and go out and find an experienced hockey guy for the Montreal Canadiens. And fans could absolutely rally around that. And yeah, the record may not improve a lot, but at least there'd be hope and excitement from the fan base that they know that there's a direction that they can support. That's Jeff Molson is the guy in the organization that has to set that, and unfortunately, he's not around right now, and that causes fans to just, you know, abandon hope.
And it's become a distraction. Like, as much as I think, like, the players or anybody wants to say, like, it's become a distraction for anything. Like, when it comes to, you know, who's the next GM and or what's happening, what's the vision, for sure it's a distraction. So we'll see. I think this will be the biggest storyline for the Canadiens now until some kind of decision is made, because I don't think on the ice we'll in terms of wins or losses or playoff hopes, there will be much happening. But anyways, so we're going to take our final break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. When we come back, well, we'll be chatting with Michael Spinella, one of our newest members from the Rocket Sports team. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on the Rocket Sports Radio.
The Canadiens Connection is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com. I bet you enjoy sporting your best Habs jerseys, dressing up your kids and pets in the cutest Habs gear, and showing off your decked-out hockey cave or fanic. Well, don't just show your friends, show your Habs. The team at All Habs wants you to boast your finest pictures for our global network of Montreal Canadiens fans. Include the hashtag #ShowYourHabs when posting your fan photos on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Then log on to showyourhabs.com to see your entries, along with photos and posts from Habs fans all over the world. A proud member of the Rocket Sports Media Network. If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us regarding this unique marketing opportunity. For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back to episode 165 of the Canadiens Connection podcast on the Rocket Sports Radio. And a reminder, you can follow Habs Connection on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit our website at CanadiansConnection.com. And a quick reminder that every Monday on allhabs.net, you'll find the Habs Notepad written by myself with a recap of everything that went on over the weekend when in the entire Montreal Canadiens organization. And then during the week, you'll be able to find, you know, Habs headlines, previews of the games, and game recaps as well, written by Rick. So plenty of Canadiens coverage on allhabs.net. And Rick, every week we also get a video from our colleague Ben. And in his last video, as a fan, Ben wanted some action.
It was, Ben's a little frustrated, like most Canadiens fans are, and he was saying, please do something. For God's sakes, do something. So if you go to youtube.com/allhabs, you'll find that video. You'll find every video from Ben. Be sure to watch them. Be sure to like them. Be sure to subscribe to the channel, and Ben would love to hear from you in the comments.
And also we have our Habs profiles by our colleague Mike, who's done a couple of them so far with Nick Suzuki and Michael Pezzetta as well. So we should be having another one soon, I guess, from Mike.
For sure. Michael Raschel doing lots of Michaels here, doing one on Michael Pezzetta and Nick Suzuki. He's going to go through the roster and give you some background that you may not know about. That you can find at allhabs.net.
And over in the AHL report, you'll have the press zone, like that Rick mentioned earlier, that will be out on a Tuesday and review all our Rocket coverage on the AHL report with myself and Amy Johnson as well. Some new voices have joined the Rocket Sports team during the off season, and it's always great to have some new voices, some different perspectives as well. And well, one of them is Michael Spinella, and he joins Rick right now.
Thanks, Chris. We're pleased to feature one of our newer contributors to the Rocket Sports team. His name is Michael Spinella. He's been helping out this podcast, the Canadians Connection podcast. He's been helping out behind the scenes for the Press Zone podcast, our sister podcast, putting together some audio clips. He also has done some work for the AHL Report, the season a season preview over there. Good writer, you're handy with audio, and we wanted to get you on the Canadians Connection. So welcome, Michael. We're glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on here, Rick. Obviously, over the last little while, helping out with Canadians Connection, I've been pretty familiar with the podcast, and I'm excited to be here in the studio with you.
Well, we're excited to have you. And so listen, maybe just as a little bit of an introduction, you can talk about who you are, why you came to the Rocket Sports team. I know, they don't know, that you're a new resident of Montreal, and how you're finding things so far.
Yeah, so I just moved from Ottawa to Montreal on September 1st. Nothing against Ottawa. That's always going to be my home. But I was looking for more opportunities, more things to do in a bit of a bigger city. And coincidentally, within, I think, the first week or two of moving, I saw some advertisements on Twitter. Rocket Sports Media team was looking for some new members. And as a lifelong hockey fan, I thought this would be a kind of a fun opportunity. I do have a little bit of a background with audio production. I've done some of my own podcasts, and I like a lot of the media side of various things, as well as, you know, following the NHL season. I unfortunately have grown up as a Sens fan, being from Ottawa, but I do like the Montreal Canadiens, and it's been pretty nice to follow along this season with the whole Rocket Sports Media family. Our Slack feed, we have a nice game thread, so we always have some interesting takes going through that. And I'm very excited to join the Rocket Sports Media family, and yeah, I guess I have you to thank for that, Rick.
Well, you're very welcome, and we're happy to have you. You've been doing a great job so far, and you said you're a lifelong hockey fan, so you're coming at this coverage not necessarily as a Habs fan, but more of a kind of an outside objective view, and we like your takes. You've had some pretty sharp hockey analysis, both in Slack and on Twitter, and that's why, one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on today, and we're going to talk a little bit about Canadiens goaltending. It's obviously topical, given that Carey Price is still working his way back, and in no timeline involved with that. Jake Allen likely won't play on Saturday against Nashville. Dom Ducharme said that's very unlikely. So it's been Caden Primo the last couple of games. Sam Montembeault cleaned up last night in the third period. In Laval, of course, there's Michael McNiven and Kevin Poulin. We wanted to bring you on just kind of a fresh perspective on the goaltending situation in for the Montreal Canadiens, and I'll just give you the floor to start anywhere you like.
All right, perfect. So, I mean, coming into this season, I think a lot of people were expecting, since Carey Price was going to be out, Jake Allen and Caden Primo to start, which is kind of similar to what happened last season. But based on Primo's performance last year in the NHL and what happened in the preseason, I think it was kind of a good move that they went and picked up Sam Montembeault off of waivers to kind of be a placeholder. But now with Jake Allen out, I was a little bit surprised to see that Primo was the one that got the call-up. I know some people out there, including myself, may have wanted to see McNiven given an opportunity, given his track record. From a pure numbers standpoint, it does look like Primo had the better numbers in the AHL this year. He has a 916 goals against average, as opposed to Michael McNiven's 863. But so far with Primo, it's been a little bit hit and miss. I think you and I have talked a little bit on Slack about how Primo tends to overplay the puck quite a bit. He'll get the first shot, kind of slide way out of the net, and then he's, you know, unfortunately can't get back in position for the rebound. He's had a lot of issues with rebounds as well, which is not good given how far he's been sliding out of his net. If you take a look at my Twitter, I did post a video from one of the goals last night. I believe it was the Crosby goal, where you can just clearly see him. He just goes way out of the net. He's down early, and then, you know, rebound goes right to the middle. Crosby is there to put the puck in. And honestly, nothing against Primo. I know why this organization likes him. I know that he does have the potential to be a starter in the future. But right here, right now, I do think, and I think you agree with this, he probably better suited to be in the AHL for an entire season. We saw last year as well, he just doesn't look that comfortable in the net when he's in the NHL.
I think that's fair. You know, he has very good starts in the AHL. He has some that are not so great. But listen, he's young for a goaltender. He's very young, just 22. And, you know, defensemen take longer to develop than forwards. Goaltenders take longest of all, longer than defensemen. So he's still very young. We heard from Stefan Waite when he was with the organization that he's looking for goaltenders to spend 100-150 games in the AHL. Caden Primo hasn't yet cracked the 60-game mark, and it's all working through these issues. And you touched on there the issue of tracking and being able to read plays. And I think, you know, oftentimes we see him overreact to a first shot and putting himself out of position for second shot opportunities. Or if he's not tracking properly, you're going to get those rebounds that you talked about. One of the not he's athletic, but not so quick post to post. That's something he's acknowledged, both the tracking and the post-to-post that he needs to work on. That's how goals are scored in the NHL these days, making a goaltender move side to side. And, you know, on the positive side, we've seen him challenge shooters. He's not afraid to do that. He's very confident. He's got a good glove. He's an athletic goaltender, as I said. It's just the, you know, a lot of it is the mental game and improving his reads, improving his positioning, improving his puck tracking. And that just takes a lot of time.
Oh, it definitely does. And like we see this with all different goaltenders. I mean, I don't think too many goaltenders really get a shot at the NHL until they're like closer to like 25 years old, unless it's a special case, like a Carter Hart type situation. But honestly, I was surprised that they went right to Primo these last two games, as opposed to going with Sam Montembeau. It's not like Sam Montembeau's put up great numbers in the NHL so far. I'm looking here, 6 games. And his save percentage is .892. It's not great, but, you know, in the case of Caden Primo, his last two games, you know, against the Rangers the other night, he got scored on 3 times. And then again, last night, he got scored on 5 times. Yeah, that can't be good for his confidence. And I'd be surprised if they went back to him tomorrow night, Saturday, and let him get the start again. I do worry that his confidence is going to be lost if he goes back in and has another one of those games where, you know, he's getting scored on 3, maybe 5 times.
Fortunately, at least so far, he's a goaltender. He's a hockey player that doesn't lack confidence. And whether that comes from, you know, being a legacy player or not, that hasn't happened so far. But as you said, the kind of numbers that he's had both last year and this year in the NHL. At some point, that's going to start. That could start to affect a goaltender. As far as Michael McNiven, do you put any stock in? We know that Michael McNiven came out and was quite critical of the organization. Talked about how goaltenders have been, played when they're hurt, and that the playing field hasn't necessarily been level at all times. That certain goaltenders get advantage. Do you think in your opinion, any of that played into who was called up to the Canadiens?
Yeah, I think so. I believe you and Amy Johnson did talk about it, I think, on the Press Zone a few weeks back. There was a game in the AHL that I think it was on a back-to-back. They were trying to rest Primo, and McNiven was in net. He was suffering from cramps. He wanted out of the game, but they wouldn't let him get out of the game because they wanted Primo to rest for that whole night. So there does seem to be this bias towards Primo. They value him, I think, more than almost every other goalie in their organization besides maybe Carey Price. I do kind of feel for McNiven, but given that Primo is called up right now, I think I'm excited to see what he can do getting some consistent starts here. Unfortunately, like I mentioned earlier, number-wise, he's not been great in the AHL, but I do like him as a goaltender. I like what I saw from him in the preseason. And at some point, it would be nice to see him get the call up, but I don't think the organization is willing to do that. They'd rather have Primo.
McNiven, obviously a battler. That's his go-to claim to fame, and is capable of playing pretty well in a big game. Just to wrap this up, what do you see happening? Obviously, I think that the Canadians are kind of biding time here, biding time till Jake Allen can come back from his concussion symptoms. Biding time until Carey Price can get back in the net. But do you see there has been, apparently, Mark Bergevin has reached out to Columbus with respect to Ioannis Korpisalo. Do you see the Canadiens shopping to bring in a goaltender this season? Or given the way things are unfolding, do you expect that they'll just let things play out?
That was actually something I was thinking about before. I would like them to bring in another goaltender. Obviously, Korpisalo is somebody that I like quite a bit. I was kind of surprised that they didn't do that going into the season if they are expecting Price to be out for as long as he has been. But I think a lot of that just comes down to how long is Jake Allen going to be out. Obviously, they've leaned on him quite a bit this season. He's gotten the majority of the starts. If he's going to be out for much longer, I think it makes sense to go out and get a Ioannis Korpisalo type. But at the same time, you know, in the season, it's kind of already lost a little bit. I don't think anyone's expecting these Montreal Canadiens to make the playoffs. So does it make sense to spend, you know, assets on bringing in another goaltender, you know, if Price and Allen are going to come back at some point this season? And at that point, too, you know, they did bring in Sam Montembeau. I don't know that they have a whole lot of stock in him. I don't know that they necessarily have a lot of faith in him. But, yeah, it really comes down to how long they're going to have to go without Allen and Price.
Well, let me switch gears on you here. The Rocket Sports team, it's November. It's as the podcast, this podcast airs, it's November 20th. We're in the last 10 days of our support of the Movember campaign. You decided to get involved. And my goodness, just killing it with the handlebar mustache, putting us all to shame. Tell us about why you decided to get involved and how you're able to sculpt this fabulous mustache.
Well, I definitely got the invite from my Rocket Sports family. I've never done a Movember before where I've you know, been raising money and taking daily photos on the Mo tracker. So it was pretty exciting. I definitely put off going just to the mustache. Normally I have a full beard, and coincidentally, I think a week before I just paint a barber to, you know, shape it up, make it nice. So I didn't want to go right to the mustache, but in recent history, I did take off the full beard, and I took the time to, yeah, I took a little Freddie Mercury inspiration and going with the handlebar.
Nice.
You can see that all on my Mo tracker. I'm sure you can get to the Rocket Sports Media Movember page and find it from there. And it's been really cool to try and raise some money. I've just had friends and family donating. They've been keeping up to date with all my daily selfies, and I get messages from them, which is pretty funny. It's definitely an important initiative to me, given, you know, it's men's health, men's mental health as well. And I feel like there's a lot of, I guess, expectations in society for men to be, you know, impervious to everything. But unfortunately, we're not, as much as I would like to be. So it's nice to put a little bit of emphasis on that. And it's not, you know, that men's health is more important than anyone else's health. It's, you know, everyone's health is important, mental health and physical health. But, you know, it's important that we also recognize that, you know, men do have some issues as well, you know, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and yes, mental health. As much as I would like to think that, you know, we don't have emotions, we all do. And, you know, walking it off or going out to plow the back 40, you know, it doesn't really help the situation. So it's nice to, you know, put a little bit of emphasis on, you know, you can reach out for help, you can take care of yourself as a man.
Really well said, and loved what you said on your hockey analysis as well. We'll have you back again. Michael Spinella, thanks so much for joining us here on the Canadians Connection, and we'll talk again very soon.
No, thank you very much, Rick. And if I can, I do have a Twitter that all the nice people can follow if they want to. It's at the Spinella, at T-H-E-S-P-I-N-E. LLA, and you can give me a follow there to keep up with what I'm doing with the Rocket Sports Media family.
Be sure to follow Michael and all the rest of our team, and we'll have Michael back again sometime soon. Thanks again, Mike.
Thank you very much, Rick.
All right, it was great to hear Michael, and welcome once aboard. Well, welcome back, I guess. Welcome once again aboard to our Rocket Sports team. And Rick, Michael spoke about Movember and why it's important to him. Why don't you give us an update on how's that going?
Well, we have about 10 days left in, we're two-thirds of the way through our support of the Movember campaign. We're raising awareness, we're raising some dollars, and we're getting active as the Rocket Sports team. Closing in on 500 kilometers of activity from our team members, as well as just over the $500 mark for fundraising. If you'd like to help us in any way, either by donating, by sharing what we're doing on your social media, all you have to do is go to moteam.co. That's not .com, it's .co, moteam.co/allhabs, moteam.co/allhabs, and you'll find our Rocket Sports team there. There's seven members, I believe, who are raising funds, who are getting active, who are growing mustaches, and if you can help us out, even by sharing the information, we'd really appreciate it.
A great cause. So the Canadians are playing three games until our next episode. It starts tonight against the Nashville Predators at the Bell Centre. And then the following two games will be games on the road on Wednesday night against the Washington Capitals, and then on Friday night against the Buffalo Sabres. And a reminder, like I mentioned at the top of the episode, that tonight, Habs, Rocket, and the Lions, they're all playing at the same time, starting at 7 o'clock. I'm going to go out there on a limb, Rick, and I think only one of those three teams are going to win.
All right. Well, that's we'll see. We'll take that wager.
All right. Our next episode is next Saturday, November 27th. Be sure to subscribe to the Canadians Connection on any of your favorite podcast apps. And don't forget to share on social media and also post your reviews, comments, tell your friends, your neighbors, and any stranger on the street as well. Rick, it was great being with you this week.
Great to have you here. Great discussion, really full discussion on a number of issues, and always good to have you in the host chair.
It was great to be back. Thank you to everybody for listening. My name is Chris G. You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisHabs360, and we'll talk again soon here on the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Visit allhabs.net for breaking news about the Montreal Canadiens.